In either of our states, you can now grow and own marijuana for your own personal use. No prescription from a doctor needed, as under medical marijuana rules. But even though pot is now essentially as legal as beer, it's never out of the headlines for long. Regulations and markets and procedures are still being introduced with plenty of wrinkles along the way. Noelle Crombie covers all of the facets of pot and pot law in her job as a reporter for the Oregonian newspaper in Portland and its web entity, Oregon Live. We invited her back for a perusal of the state of pot in Oregon. Noelle, thanks for joining us once again.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Just in general, there seems like a constant barrage of information about pot coming at us just from the news media. In this county, for example, Jackson County in November, there were so many ballot measures about pot. Is it difficult even for somebody who's in the middle of it all to keep track of it all?
It can be. I think that you're right. There's a lot of developments in the last year, last couple of years, actually, have been particularly busy in Oregon. It's challenging.
Legalization came in a couple of different waves. What changes in regulation or rules as of the first of this year?
So the first January 1st represented a significant milestone in Oregon marijuana policy. It represented the end of recreational sales at medical marijuana dispensaries. Those sales, they were referred to as early sales, had been going on for the past year and a half or so, and they were intended as a warm-up of sorts to full recreational sales. They served several purposes. Early sales gave access to people 21 and older to walk into a dispensary and have legal access to a drug that's now legal in Oregon. It also generated taxes for Oregon, and it provided a lifeboat to dispensaries. There are hundreds of dispensaries in the state, and competition is tight, and many of them argued that early sales would sort of really help them. But that has ended. And the state has spent the last year and a half creating a regulatory system for recreational sales under the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. And those rec sales now are taking place entirely under that system. So what that means is that the rec sales will only take place at retailers licensed by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. The commission has been licensing establishments for several months, so there are many of these stores are up and running statewide. And for customers, they'll see lower taxes because under early sales we had a 25% sales tax on cannabis, recreational cannabis. That's gone down now to 17%. State tax, and local governments can add up to 3%. So you'll see a tax now of 17% to 20%. And consumers can buy more of flower than they were able to under early sales. And they'll be able to buy, there's sort of edibles, the edibles that are available will be slightly different as well. But this system is still getting its feet under itself. So this is not kind of a fully operational system yet that, processes are still, the state has been sort of slowly ramping up processing. And so edibles and concentrates, these are very popular products on the market. You won't see so many of those yet. But I think things will look different as the year goes on.
So what happens in the medical marijuana realm now that we have recreational marijuana? I mean, is there any advantage in getting a doctor to give a prescription if you could just buy the stuff?
Sure. I think that's a good question and one that a lot of longtime medical marijuana patients are probably asking themselves. There are benefits if you are a heavy consumer of cannabis. You've got larger possession amounts. You've got the ability to buy tax-free. So if you are consuming a lot, you're going to be able to buy those products without paying taxes. So those are two advantages. But I think there is a lot of concern among advocates about the future of medical marijuana as the state kind of pivots to a system that's really geared toward recreational cannabis. That is a system that generates a lot of tax money and has a very robust, has robust advocacy in Salem. And so I think you're going to see a system that's really oriented around rec. And I think it does raise a question about the future of medical.
Noel Crombie is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a marijuana beat reporter for the Oregonian and Oregon Live. 800-838-3760 for questions. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. Is there a belief that there might perhaps be a shakeout in the dispensaries, Noel?
Yeah, I mean, just last week when I talked to the Oregon Health Authority, which regulates dispensaries, they had received 70 requests from dispensaries statewide to drop their registration, presumably because they're shifting into the recreational market. We're going to see fewer and fewer dispensaries. As one retailer told me, it's hard to survive if you're going to be a medical-only shop in this era. There are concerns among advocates for patients about limits and new rules around medical marijuana production. The concern is that under the previous system, medical marijuana growers depended on sort of amassing medical marijuana patients to justify high production, since the state system was tied patient cards to plant limits. Those patients could count on free or inexpensive cannabis in return as part of that arrangement, but the new rules mean growers don't really need to take on so many patients, and some advocates say that's left thousands of patients in the cold.
So from what you were just saying, can dispensaries opt to become OLCC stores?
They can. It's an expensive endeavor, but they can.
Okay. So what is the balance right now of OLCC licensed stores selling marijuana versus the medical marijuana dispensaries?
Well, the number of medical marijuana dispensaries is going down, by the week. So I think when I checked the middle of last week, it was 350, and by the end of the week, it was like 300. A look at the latest stats by OLCC show 256 retailers statewide have active licenses. As far as producers, there's 370 that have active licenses. It's worth noting that the Oregon Liquor Control Commission has received almost 2,000 applications for the licenses they issue. They issue 5 license types. So it's still ramping up.
For those of us who, I guess I'd be showing that by asking this question, have not been to a pot shop at this point, can they sell only marijuana and marijuana products?
Yeah, they can sell, devices to consume cannabis, and I've seen clothing, branded clothing type things, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure. There's accessories that are available in these shops, but it's not like you can walk in and also, buy. These are shops that are designed around the sale of cannabis.
All right. The reason I ask is because I wonder if there's any discussion at any point about the OLCC mixing and matching and maybe having alcohol and marijuana sales under the same roof.
I've not heard those. I've not heard about that.
All right. Got
that's
a couple
not
of
an issue that's been up.
Okay. A couple of callers want to get into the conversation. Bill in Medford, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking marijuana with Noel Crombie from the Oregonian.
Good. I'm glad that you're talking about this subject. I wish the nice lady would also discuss the seamy side of marijuana. Apparently, she's not aware. If she's not, she should be researching into the number of lives that have been damaged and families that have been ruined from the use of marijuana. I'm quite aware that there is some indication of some medical value, and I'm not knocking that. But I think that side of it should be researched and discussed either, rather than going merrily along with this whole new idea that I think is a terrible one.
Bill, we've had you on a few times with similar complaints about marijuana. I'm curious if you think the impact of alcohol is as good or as great or less, perhaps.
Oh, I think alcohol is a dangerous substance also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the thoughts, Bill. Appreciate that. So, what are you hearing as you cover this story, Noel, about things like Bill's talking about and concerns about law enforcement and drug abuse assistance programs, things like that?
Sure. I think the thrust of our reporting has really been around the policy and how the state is designing a policy after voters said yes to legal cannabis. So I appreciate the caller's concern, though, and I think we have reported on some of the darker sides of the industry. We had a story this morning, for instance, about a butane hash oil explosion in a Portland area facility. It was an unlicensed facility. These are can be really dangerous operations. I reported on another explosion in Astoria about a month or two ago that sent people to a burn unit. We've reported on violence at grow sites, including one out of Jackson County last month. So, I mean, I think we try to be holistic when it comes to this issue.
Well, and you're certainly not taking a position. I want to make that abundantly clear, since you are working for a news organization, the Oregonian, Oregon Live. Let's talk about the Jackson County case. It was about 3 weeks ago. James Bowman was the grower who was attacked.
Yeah. He so that was a an instance of a violence at a grow site in Southern Oregon, where a longtime marijuana producer was beaten at his home in early or mid-December, and his harvest was essentially hauled away by masked intruders, and he was hospitalized as a result of that. I think it's important to note that the violence at grow sites is not a new phenomenon. These are places where you have a valuable commodity, sometimes cash, I think what's new is the seriousness with which law enforcement is taking this crime. And I've heard from growers in Southern Oregon who've said that, you know, this is not a new situation, but it seems that it's getting serious attention from police. So, you know, I think that, you know, Mr. Bowman, by the way, is a licensed producer. He's regulated by the state of Oregon, and his facility was inspected and complied with state rules. So I think it's a concern for law enforcement and for regulators.
Well, you know, one of the things that was said, though, as we approached the vote on marijuana legalization in November of 2014 was that with legal marijuana, a black market should disappear, violence should disappear, et cetera, et cetera. Is there still a black market?
I think there is. I mean, that's what I'm hearing from people who are in the industry. I've heard a lot of rumor about growers moving product into the black market because of obstacles in the system, in the regulated system, and it's just easier to deal with the black market, which is something that growers are, you know, accustomed, many growers are accustomed to dealing with. So, I mean, I think that as the state goes through this transition of going from a largely, you know, from one that had an illicit component to a regulated one, you know, it's going to be hard to plug all those holes at first.
Noel Crombie, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a marijuana beat reporter for the Oregonian, Oregon Live. One of the other expectations with legalized recreational marijuana was revenue for state and now for local jurisdictions as well. I mean, what is coming in for the state versus what was expected?
Yeah, I mean, the state is making a lot of money off of cannabis for sure, and I think that as of the middle of last year, I think we had reported it was about 26 million, and I think it had gone up to, you know, the 30 or so million. I don't have the exact figure, but it's the state is certainly seeing revenue at rates higher than expected, and that's probably going to continue to grow.
Let's take a call. I have Grumpy John and Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Noel Crombie from the Oregonian, Oregon Live.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi.
Anytime there's valuable commodities, you are going to run the risk of lawbreakers. I mean, look at the Canadians with their maple syrup ripoffs. Okay, number two, I'm appalled at Bill's attitude, how his unsubstantiated claims of vast harm to families, as opposed to being able to get a product out there that has cures multiple kinds of cancer. It stops diabetic seizures. You get a kid who's having 100 seizures a day and eliminating that with a tincture of marijuana. And then I would like to mention the sleazy sales people who are gouging with the sale of clones. They jacked up the clones of the indica high CBD strains, mm-hmm. good for medicine, and they instead of being in the spirit of let's have a healing thing, I would love to go back over the records of clone sellers, and if they have been jacking up the price on the CBD strains because we can, I would love to find the heck out of those people, because it's a violation of the spirit of the law, trying to help people who get relief from marijuana.
All right, Grumpy John, thank you for your thoughts today. Appreciate that. Noel, does there appear to be much profit-taking going on and people gouging, as Grumpy John has claimed here, from what you've researched?
You know, I mean, the retailers I've talked to are still, I think many of them are still trying to get their feet under them. There are a lot of mom-and-pop operations. But, you know, these are also entrepreneurs and business people, and I think their expectation is a profit on the product. I don't know the extent to which people are seeing profits or price gouging, as the caller mentioned.
Okay, back to taxes. You mentioned that the fair amount of money is coming into the state, and I mentioned Jackson County had 18 pot measures on the ballot in November, either bans or taxes, and I think all the taxes passed. I mean, I'm curious to know, though, I mean, since there's been a lot of discussion about the fact that people in the marijuana business have difficulty being able to use banks, I mean, how can revenue be taken from these places by public entities, and they're still able to hold on to the money?
Well, I mean, it's one of the issues that I've heard a lot about. You know, banking remains a huge issue for marijuana businesses, not just in Oregon, but in other legal states. It's a big concern. I know it's a priority when they sit down to talk with lawmakers, particularly at the federal level, and it's hard to see where that issue was going to land ultimately. But I know that that retailers are really worried about having cash on hand, and then having to drive, you know, cash payments to Salem for their tax payment. And I think that this is a big concern also for law enforcement. Because these places turn into magnets for theft.
One of the major issues that we haven't discussed is one that really either hangs over or lays under all of what we're talking about here, which is that in the states that have legal recreational pot now, which includes both Oregon and California that we're talking to right now, there's the issue of the federal government saying we're not going to bother to enforce marijuana law, go ahead and have your experiments, but that is under an administration led by a Democratic president, Barack Obama, who's not going to be in office by the end of next week. Is there any clear direction from the Trump administration about what Jeff Sessions or any attorney general is going to be directed to do on marijuana law, and how much trepidation is there in the business at this moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of anxiety in the industry, not just in Oregon, but elsewhere, as you point out. And I think any guess as to what the Trump administration will do with marijuana policy is really just that, a guess. It's speculation at this point. I think that there's hope that the administration would leave these states, alone. But we really don't know what will happen.
So the last time we spoke, Noel, was about your investigation of pesticides in marijuana products. What changes might have come about as a result of that investigation?
Yeah, the state crafted a really ambitious testing some really ambitious testing standards, and some of the most aggressive testing standards on pesticides in marijuana of legal states, and it immediately hit some road bumps for a variety of reasons. The agency that was supposed to certify cannabis labs claimed it was, you know, underfunded and lacked resources to do its work. Labs were slow to get licensed. The tests were very expensive. Producers claimed that they were really onerous, and you know, it was government overreach. And the state responded with a series of tweaks and revisions in an effort to get product moving onto the market. And so I've heard that the latest round of changes has helped loosen the market a little bit, and so we're seeing shorter testing times and turnaround times, and less of a burden of a financial burden on growers. You know, I think that's something that the state is going to be just tweaking as they go along and see how things shake out. I think pesticides are a concern for public health officials and for consumers, and that how that ends up is still to be seen.
That's a good use of phrase, though, that when you talk about everybody still getting their feet under them, because we're still relatively new to recreational marijuana in Oregon, certainly, and even more so in California. Noel Crombie is a marijuana beat reporter for the Oregonian, Oregon Live. Thanks for sharing your knowledge with us.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, take care.